Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. I am Jose Otero. I'm joined once again by the awesomely talented Dustin Laguirre.
Thanks, Jose.
And we are a man down, but Fran Mirabella is busy this week. But we are another man down. I want to take a quick second to address this, but big, big shout out, congrats, and good luck to former IGN editor Alfredo Diaz.
Yeah.
Who has moved on. He's, you know, sort of focusing his efforts on Twitch and on the things that he really cares about. Mm-hmm. Really happy to see him sort of chasing after his dreams and what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Want to make sure to send him a big shout out. I felt super guilty because Monday we recorded a show, but I think his announcements were just happening and I wasn't sure what it was said.
Yeah, we couldn't time it. So
So definitely want to say big, you know, good luck, bro. Like, seriously. Yeah.
We miss you.
Yeah, we miss you already.
We love you.
Can't you tell?
Good luck with everything, Alfredo. Yeah.
All right, word. So let's move on then to some topics for this week. So I want to lead off. Why don't I let you lead off? So there's some shout outs to be had.
Okay. So,
why don't you start with shout outs?
So I went through about 150 of the emails from the last show. And I have some shout outs to people that these are people that just wrote in to say thank you for the show. So I thought I would give you a shout out. Shout out to everybody, of course, who sent in an email. But these guys specifically for just giving me the warm, fuzzy feelings. Stephen, Gary, Scott, Daniel, Lord Deary, Martin and Steve.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Thank you so much, guys,
for writing in.
For sending in your good feelings, your good vibes to the show. We
good
really appreciate
vibrations.
It. And in that same vein, I kind of want to talk to our Facebook group, which hit 400 members today.
What?
That is completely fan-run by one guy. I wish I had your name, but thank you so much for starting it. I don't have it off the top of my head. But somebody was asking for help on Flawless Raider. So if you go to the Fireteam Chat Facebook group, I am asking that group to hop in and start a thread for people that want to run Flawless Raider. It is it is one of the best achievements or trophies that I have ever gotten in a video game.
Why is it the best?
It is so fun once you get it. It's so rewarding. Like, it's that teamwork aspect and everything. Mm-hmm. And it's just a real rush to go through the pitfalls.
I still remember watching you go for that Flawless Raider and listening to you just, I don't want to instruct your teammates on, you know, you really shouldn't be dying at the jumping puzzle.
Yeah.
You are hardcore.
And then I almost did.
And then you almost did. Yeah. Right when I turned it on, I just want to say.
In the chat, I was giving one guy a hard time because he kept using blink for like all the jumps. I'm like, turn that off, you know.
All right, no,
we did Vault of Glass, if you're wondering. That's why we're talking about platforming.
That's why the jumping puzzle and Flawless Raider, for anyone who's listening who doesn't have 100% clarity on what that is an achievement or trophy that you get for completing a raid without dying.
Anybody in your fire team dying.
Anyone.
Yeah, so if one person dies, you have to restart it from the beginning and go through it again.
How many practice runs did it take you?
Oh, I tried it for weeks. It took me like until I got it in December or January, I think.
Yep.
And I had been trying since Vault of Glass.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Props to you, man. I just don't have it in me to chase achievements or trophies or stuff like that. Like, in my mind, in my heart, like the experience of Platinum Destiny. Is pure. Yeah. You can have that Platinum is all I'm saying. All right. No, with total respect to you, though. So let's then move on to the first topic of the week. Oh, do you have something else?
No, this is the first topic. I'm just going to underline it here.
Oh, okay. So just a slight change to the program.
Yeah.
What we are going to lead off with is last week we asked the question about the worst bounties that are currently in the game. The bounties that you just don't want anything to do with anymore. A bunch of you sent in feedback, sent in what your thoughts on what you think it was. So let's talk about a few of them, shall we?
So first of all, you don't need to send me your best and worst bounties anymore. Okay. I really appreciate sending it in, but we got some really, really interesting statistics from those emails.
Okay.
So some of the worst bounties in Destiny, as voted on by the people who emailed us, are by far the number one was kill three enemies with supers.
Well, and that's because when you when you get the three enemies with supers and you chain it, any other kills you get past that don't count, right?
Is that the problem? No, it's just they're tired of it. It's hard to get three in a row, and certain supers
for hunters it's not hard. Let me tell you,
like with the pistol.
Well, with the pistol maybe, but. With the arc blade, not
so like I have a lot of trouble doing this with a Titan.
Okay.
And if you're a Defender Titan, like you pop a bolt, you can't do it with a Defender Titan.
Yeah, yeah.
So I really don't like that one. And that by far was one of the least liked by people.
Okay. Okay.
Next up was the fusion rifle double kill. That is where you use your fusion rifle, you charge it up, and you hopefully get two kills with one shot. I hate that
one. So in order to farm that, you do know the best place to farm that, right?
Yes, which I do know the best place to farm it.
It's Fist of Crota, isn't it? It's the first mission in campaign where you end up on the moon.
Oh, World's Grave. They've awoken the Hive.
Yeah, we've awoken the Hive.
Yeah,
that one. Like, most people just get a checkpoint there, respawn, and just use fusion rifles to get... Because all of those enemies are running at you close together.
That's not a bad one. Typically, I go to the stairwell in Cosmodrome on patrol there and get it there. But this... It's not fun. It's not a fun bounty to do.
Like, it's not. Unless you farm it that way, yeah.
Well, it's still not fun to do.
No, agree.
So this one was kind of a split. Well, let me just look at my notes here for a second. One that I saw a lot of people say they don't like that I disagreed with personally, but gold rating in public events. We got a lot of votes for that one. Where people were saying, hey, we really hate this bounty. And that surprised me because it's one of my favorites. It's not only a good way to farm marks for the Vanguard, you can also get ascendant shards or ascendant energies or sometimes strange coins or motes of light.
Yeah, which is only relevant before you hit 30, let's be fair. But still, that's a perfectly viable avenue for that.
They're also really fun for me to do with a group. Doing solo, though, you're pretty much using, DestinyPublicEvents.com, and you're chasing the public events.
Yeah, exactly.
I can understand why you don't like it, but personally, I really like it.
Yeah, I also don't. I don't think those are too bad, and I prefer a chance to sort of grab a fire team and just chase after them. Like, we use Destiny Public Events as well, even though we're a group, because we just find them and move on. Or we separate. I don't think it'll count. Does it count if you separate?
So what you do with separating is they never take place at exactly the same time. They're usually about a minute very least.
Yeah.
So your buddy can be like, all right, I'm going to start this one or tell you when it starts and get over
here. That's what we've done in the past. You know. Okay, cool. Yeah, no, I don't agree with that choice either as one of the worst. I feel like the other two that were mentioned.
But the people have spoken.
That's fair.
What they chose.
I respect the people. I'm a man of the people. I just disagree with the people right now.
Some interesting stats were the best bounties. Well, actually, the interesting stuff was the splits where people are half and half.
Okay, give me a split. What do you got?
Well, let's do best and worst first, then we'll do splits.
Okay.
How about that?
So
some of the favorites. Number one was Hive Majors and Ultras. Cosmodrome, you go down the stairs, you kill the Hive. But just kill any Ultra type of enemy, the ones with the yellow bars.
Yeah.
Those seem to perform pretty well.
And you can run into yellow bars on any sort of mission that's been tuned to like hard. Like super hard, I mean. Like the highest difficulty, I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yes.
Some people didn't like the Fallen Majors or Ultras, but the Gracilix target one in the archive on Venus, that's a really good spot to farm that one. Just don't kill the boss and... You can die and then restart and get your 10 pretty quickly.
Right. Okay.
But anyway, those rated really well. People really like collecting the 200 whatever.
Sensor mites.
Like sensor mites on Cosmodrome.
Yeah, name here.
People really like that one. And a lot of people really liked Melee kill 30 enemies with time, without dying.
It's easy.
That one's funny. You just run up and punch people.
Yeah, you just run up and punch people. But I will say both of those are examples of really easy bounties. Like I know with the 200 sensor mites, we sort of spread out a fire team that I was playing with, and we easily got that one like within a few, not even a couple of, maybe a couple of minutes is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like it went really, I was surprised how fast it goes versus doing it alone.
It's also stackable with the melee kills. So you can be collecting sensor mites while getting the melee kills, while working on 9,000 XP.
And those are my favorite bounties are the ones that stack, whereas it feels like when it's the ones that are sort of unique or alone.
Left alone.
Yeah, I just, I don't want to do those.
So talking about the splits where it's about 50-50, one of those examples is kill heroic enemy types like kill Gracilisk on Venus or kill Valus Talarc. Half the people hated them, half the people liked them. So that was kind of a split. Personally, I like them because I have save points near all those guys now.
Yeah.
So you just hop in and you do them quick. Patrols, just in general, like do 6 patrols on a planet. That one was pretty split, probably because you get materials now for doing the 6 patrol missions, but it's not worth as much experience points.
Yeah. Okay, I can see that being a reason why someone will be annoyed by that.
And then what was the other one?
It's pretty good. That
pretty
was good
it.
Rundown. Thank you so much for anyone who emailed that feedback and sent in, like, what are your worst, what are your favorite bounties? Like, that's good for us to know. Did we ever come up with a community bounty? Do we want a community bounty?
So we have... Brian sent in a ridiculously difficult community bounty. I'll read it off, and if anybody sends in... I don't know how they do this. Send a clip of them doing this
or anything. Show it off or no?
So Brian suggested do Crota without activating lamps, never use rocket launchers, go across the bridge and melee kill the ogres.
Wait a minute. Crota normal?
Crota normal. Hard.
Or hard.
Haul, get to the chest without invisibility.
That's too much.
Uryut, only use shotguns, and Crota... never go back to the crystal room.
So
Brian, I like where your head's at, but that is like a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah. Also, the clip. I don't think we can get a clip long enough for no rockets ever. Like that would be pretty difficult to get.
So how about do lamps with no lamps activated?
Is that possible? Has it been done?
Well, you can do it. I know it's possible. Mm. Like you just need to kill everything on your way. But
but how do you remove stacks? You're not removing stacks.
No, you'd slow walk all the way up there.
Oh, that's got to be the longest. How's that even a clip we can get? I need something tangible.
That's tangible. That would only take about 10 minutes maybe to get to the ending.
Okay. What's the max of a PS4 or a Xbox?
15
like
minutes.
It's 15?
Yeah, I think Xbox does 5.
Okay.
So
right now, if you're on PS4, you have an advantage for the clip size.
Yeah, that's true.
But can they send us all 15 minutes? Or all 10 minutes?
Just put it on YouTube and go ahead and send me a link. The email is destiny@ign.com.
Okay, I want to see it. I want to see it. The gauntlet has been thrown. Brian, thank you so much for emailing those in. But I will say, tone it down, man. Like, what about just a silly picture with, like, Atheon or something? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Guys, we do need bounty suggestions. So if you have any other simple ones that involve, like, taking a screenshot, that'll be easier for me to read in the emails and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Jose.
Yeah.
On the bounty note, I did want to talk about some suggestions really quick because I really, really loved some of these.
Okay, let's hear them.
A Nightfall playlist with random modifiers was sent in by Bentley.
Oh.
Bentley, I really like this idea.
I like that too.
Like, imagine if you could do more than one Nightfalls or like the Nightfalls get harder and harder, like more and more modifiers stack up to your disadvantage, you know, and you get a better reward. Like maybe that's a way they could just change Nightfalls in general.
Or you do what Smash Brothers did with is Crazy Hand Mode, where each time you finish – I mean, first of all, Nightfall's hard enough as it is. But let's say you finish Nightfall.
Mm-hmm.
You reach the end. You decide to re-roll or rerun Nightfall. You
rerun Nightfall for a better reward?
Put the reward at risk. So if you die, if you wipe on Nightfall, it's gone. Like
you get no reward at all.
Yeah, you get nothing. I want it to be hard. I want it to be difficult.
Well, I feel like you should still get the reward because you did the Nightfall.
Fine, but that reward should be like somehow downgraded. Yeah. Like if you risk it, you are putting your name on, yes, I can do this. Like I think that's kind of like people who play Diablo 3 and they YOLO. You know, they only roll the permadeath character. And it's like once you die, that's it. It's the end. I'm not saying have the permadeath aspect, but take the reward away. Yeah. And I think people who would go for that would really enjoy it too. Like some people just like that intense difficulty. Mm-hmm. I know I would enjoy that.
I really like that one from Bentley. Nice. Thank you for sending that in. Garrett sent in some simpler ones, weapon-based bounties, like kill however many with a scout rifle.
Okay.
You know, or kill 100 dregs versus like kill 100 enemies, mm-hmm. you know, like kill a specific mm-hmm. enemy mm-hmm. type. They have that
wipe
for
them out. Yeah, all exactly. of them.
Michael sent in patrols with difficulty modifiers. Okay. That could be kind of interesting.
That could be kind of interesting. I like that.
I really like this one from Michael. Kill all enemies on a planet.
That's not possible.
No, you totally could. Like, I know they respawn and everything,
they
but
respawn.
Maybe you go into a unique instance and you have to kill everything on that planet. That would be really fun to do with a fire team.
Mass genocide is a fun thing to do. No,
that
I'm
would
kidding.
Be fun
I'm
with
I don't
a fire
know how
team.
I feel about that one. That's the. It's just a video game. I get it, but like, maybe set up an arena where that's happening. I just think that's too much ground to cover.
Yeah,
maybe that's
true.
Just me.
Rahul said a weekly bounty of complete all raids on normal and then hard.
Okay.
51 shots, one-shot kills with shotties or snipers.
Hey, dig back into that bunchy history right there. I like it. Shotty snipers.
Yeah. 10 kills with one rocket.
Okay.
That one would be tricky. Get a kill with every shot from a hand cannon. You know, just bounties like that.
Nice.
So those were pretty cool. I spent a lot of time on the bounty talk.
You did. You did. Yeah, but I hope people enjoyed it. And we're still looking for your suggestions on this stuff. I actually like the creativity on display here, I have to say.
Yeah.
So if you think you can one-up that, why don't you email us, destiny@ign.com. Let us know what you think would be a suitable bounty or bounties that either Bungie should try or that we should put out to our community. And we'll see what we can get you. No promises. All right, what's next on the list? We've got...
I feel like we should talk about the Bungie Weekly update.
Okay, so why don't you recap it for us? What's going on here?
So basically, we pretty much nailed the
audio
sound
visual.
And video.
Woo!
You know,
high
yeah,
fives.
Pretty much. Yep. Except there was one thing that I think I forgot to mention. I may have mentioned it, but...
colorblind?
Colorblindness. Yeah. This is something the community has been asking for, and I am actually colorblind. Fun fact to everybody listening or watching. So this is really interesting for me, but because I'm a video guy, I wouldn't be able to really... utilize it because all my footage has to be captured in the normal one. But they had some examples here for standard mode, which looks fine to me, by the way. Simulated deuteranopic view.
Don't butcher it, man.
It's fun to
Butcher and
then
language.
There's deuteranopia mode.
Okay. What Destin is really saying is that these different... Can you see the colors better on one of these? Just now.
No, they
the test.
They look
Hang on.
Rough. They look rough.
Can you see a difference?
Yeah, standard mode looks perfect.
Is it perfect because that's all you've seen for like 8 months?
No, so the image that is above standard mode, I thought it was the colorblind mode at first. I'm like, oh, that's just standard mode. But then
Are
I looked
sure
at...
Are you sure you're colorblind?
I am. I have red, green, something. Okay. And then it's...
what color was the dress when you saw
Nopic.
It?
It's blue and it is blue. This one looks closer to blue and purple, like being the same to me. Like they look exactly the same to me. So I think this is standard, and this like that maybe they got their images swapped. I don't know for sure though.
All right, I love the fact that I'm putting you through this test. By the way, anyway,
this looks like standard. This is what I see the game like the simulated deuteranopic mode view, whatever. But like that's how I see standard mode sometimes, and standard mode is how I would like to see it.
So you can also play by adjusting your sound mix, which we talked about last week. There's also a muted soundtrack option, which I don't think we did say that.
No,
I
we did.
I think that's really cool.
Well,
just the notion of
that was
just...
with game volume, like being able to turn off game volume. But they went a step further and said you can just turn all the music
which
off.
Which is
kind of
sad
because
the music in the game is pretty good, if not excellent.
It's
another really good score by Marty O'Donnell at the most part. At least everything before Dark Below. I feel like Dark Below just...
The former Beatle member... made a strange track. That's one. Of, that was
oh,
that one was a little
Paul McCartney.
Yeah, Paul McCartney made a fairly odd track
Wasn't
at the
that
end.
The credit song.
Yeah, like you have to go to the credits in the menu, and it seems strange to me.
Okay.
That's fine though.
That's Sir Paul McCartney to you.
You're right.
I just want
he
you
was
to
knighted.
That. Yeah, he was.
I have much respect for that man.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so moving on. So colorblind mode, we got that.
Game
Anything
volume
else?
And chat volume can be adjusted. Music.
Yep. Talked about that.
The colorblind mode. Yeah, all these are.
And these
really, really cool.
Even extend to the mini map that you see in the corner. So if that's also been an issue for you, that's coming really soon. Did they say when?
No. So probably with House of Wolves is my guess. I don't think they said when, but this is their focus coming soon. They also said bonus points. They're going to try and make the gray engram, like the stuff that the triangles that drop from people, a little bit larger so that they're easier to find brighter.
Thank you. No, so, that's important because I do feel like triangles drop and I miss them because I can't see them. And I see just fine, even though I'm wearing glasses. All right. Great. Good job on the recap. Next up then is a question which came from David via email, I'm assuming. Yes?
Yeah. These were all sent in by email.
Okay. So
he said, there's so much good stuff this week. Like, we're just trying to get through it all.
Got it. So what are the top five weapons you want from Destiny 1 to appear in Destiny 2? Now, before I answer this question, I just want to say, David, I would be willing to bet every weapon or almost every weapon will continue to exist in multiple versions of Destiny. I think very rarely are they going to cut anything away, anything away.
One of the Bungie representatives did confirm that your characters are going to carry over to the next Destiny.
Yes. Yeah.
Genevieve told me that. So that is confirmed. Like, that is confirmed from Activision/Bungie. The question is, how are they going to transfer over? Are you going to have all of your gear and your loot, or is it going to be in some different manner?
That is a really good question.
You know,
one would hope that the tools that they use to make Destiny have sort of that scale in mind of how many years they want this thing to live.
Well, it's a 10-year franchise,
despite the improvements that are going to be made, that you know, everything's compartmentalized in a way that as versions change, these things are coming with them.
Yeah.
But I will say the easiest answer to this question outside of it's probably is happening is just, okay, you want five weapons? I'll give you two, and I'll let you bring the other three. But definitely Ballerhorn has to come back.
Gjallarhorn, number one.
Is probably the most sought-after thing in Destiny. Like, everyone, I think, remembers the moment they got Gjallarhorn. If you don't, like, fine, maybe I'm over, you know, I'm adding too much drama to that description, but I really do think everyone wants it. And there are people I know who have invested hundreds of hours trying to get it, and they still haven't got it. And then the second, actually, I'll let you drop a weapon before I drop the next one.
I'm just right now trying to make a list off the top of my head of stuff that, like, I couldn't live without. Fatebringer.
Fatebringer
is so good. Like, it's,
wait, Fatebringer from Vault of Glass? The gun
Fatebringer from Vault of Glass that's still 300. You haven't been able to upgrade it. I want that weapon. I want that weapon until the end of Destiny.
Yeah?
It is so good. You get a headshot, and it blows up multiple enemies, and it's really good in this week's Nightfall because it does arc.
Nice.
You know?
Okay,
so,
okay.
Fatebringer is one of my favorites.
I know some Fire Team chat mates that I play with who are constantly talking smack about their Fatebringers. So I will respect it.
They don't like it?
No, they love it.
Oh,
I mean, they talk smack to anyone who doesn't have it. It's like, clearly.
Well, maybe you should play Vault more.
Yeah, I should. Yeah. I'm moving it.
You get it on Templar. Templar hard. You don't have to send in correction emails. Thank you. I know that. I thought Fran was talking about Gjallarhorn.
Ah, okay.
So flashback humor.
Yeah, clearly. All right. So definitely, I think Hawkmoon. Like, I'm a big fan of hand cannons in general, and I hate to name drop another hand cannon just because you dropped Fatebringer, but Hawkmoon's a really cool weapon.
And there's Hawkmoon, Last Word, and Thorn. Out of those three, we decided Hawkmoon is the best.
I think so.
You know.
Yeah. But what puts it over the Last Word or Thorn, would you say?
Well, it's just the most powerful and accurate, and like the random damage modifier in the Hawkmoon, because it has that damage bump.
I can appreciate that the Last Word has its own animation, and I want to see more guns embrace that kind of idea, where there's something unique to it that maybe no other gun has in that game.
Yeah.
By the way, you only have experience with Hawkmoon if you're playing on PS4 right now, because on Xbox doesn't exist.
It's going to come in September to Xbox, I believe.
Okay.
That's when the DLC is allowed to.
And hopefully it doesn't get nerfed. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
You looking for one from me?
Yeah, I'm looking for one from you.
All right. This is tough because they're two of my favorite sniper rifles, either Icebreaker or Black Hammer. Like those. Like,
you got to pick one.
What if you could only have one?
You can only have one. Pick now. I'll pick one too.
All right. Black Hammer.
Why?
I love the fact that Icebreaker reloads, and I use them together. Like, if I ever miss enough shots that I don't have any ammo, I let my Icebreaker charge up, then I switch back to Black Hammer because it gives you four rounds, meaning you have another chance.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that auto reload on three.
If I had to pick one, it has to be Black Hammer because it tears through Atheon, it tears through spider tanks. You know.
So why is impatience of time, patience and time in this equation? Just asking.
Like, well, this is four. This is four. This could be the fifth one.
Because my problem with
Icebreaker, because it makes you invisible when you zoom in.
It's a nice perk to have if you're not a hunter. Is all I'm saying. Like, it's the one way that anyone who's not a hunter, who's not cool enough to be,
because you run out of ammo for it. Because it, like, there's no way to reload it.
But, okay, so Icebreaker, I think, is an awesome weapon, obviously, because it reloads. But the recoil on Icebreaker takes a while to get used to. Like, that thing, if you're going from Patience and Time to Icebreaker, it almost feels like night and day. I mean, am I being too dramatic with that?
No, not at all. Like, there's a lot of kick on the Icebreaker. Yeah.
Whereas I prefer weapons that have more precision attached to it, and so that I feel comfortable kind of getting that shot. I'm not saying I couldn't adapt with Icebreaker, but I'm going to say I would pick Patience and Time out of those two.
Okay.
I would pick a third that wasn't obviously a choice. What else you got? Give me one more.
This is kind of a strange one. It's actually from The Dark Below, but the Murmur Fusion Rifle, because you can switch the elemental type of damage.
Okay. Yeah. You can't live without that?
Well,
you can't live without that.
Put on the spot, not having a lot of time to think about it. Yeah. Like, I'd put Icebreaker in there instead. Uh-huh. But because we're picking, like, one of each weapon type, if I had to pick one fusion rifle, I would take the one that does two different types of elemental damage.
All right. So, David, I'm going to tweak your question and instead say, what are five weapons in Destiny that you cannot live without?
Oh, you're right. He said exotics. No, he said just weapons.
I'm going to take it a step further, though. I want people to email in and say what are their top five weapons in Destiny that they cannot live without. Now, instead of going from Destiny 1 to Destiny 2, let's assume that's happening because it's going to. Instead, I want to hear what are the five weapons people cannot live without who listen to the show. Email us, destiny@ign.com. We'll definitely read this one off next week as well. Probably not spend as much time as bounties on it.
Yeah. Instead of asking these questions, we need to make like a poll in our articles so that I don't have to manually read and write down each one. That'd be a lot easier, Jose.
All right.
Make a poll, maybe.
Yeah. But then if it's a poll, how many people like that? That spread that. How many choices? That's insane. How many?
Well, yeah, it's just easy. They click five and then they hit submit.
Okay. All right. That it's just going to scroll forever choices.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're right. Because it's every weapon in the game.
Exactly.
All right, we'll just send them in.
Send in your email. Yeah. Just five. Don't be the guy who sends six. Okay. All right. So
let's do the one from Scott if we're going to do another question.
Yeah, this is our last topic of this week's show. Should last gen be phased out for Destiny 2 to allow Bungie more time to focus on next gen? Oh, wait. He put last gen.
No, me typing improperly.
Okay, so
Scott, thanks for calling me out.
Oh, I apologize. So Scott, Destin mistyped your question. The question is, should last gen be phased out for Destiny 2 to allow Bungie more time to focus on next gen only?
I think gem works there because they are gems in my heart.
Yeah, well, the question is gen, though. So is last gen to blame for Destiny's... Is last gen really to blame for Destiny's problems, though?
No. He's just saying, should we phase out those generations to allow more time to focus on the current gen platforms?
But when you're making a game that's the same across both, I guess it makes sense to point out that last gen be a hindrance because it doesn't really do everything that you can do with better processing, with better memory allocation, with better CPUs and all that stuff. I understand that part. I only bring that up because anytime it becomes a last gen and next gen conversation, it feels like obviously the easy answer is to say goodbye to last gen. I think that's going to be part of the plan eventually. I just don't know if that's as soon as Destiny 2. Like, there's a lot of PS3s and 360s in the world.
So Destiny,
do you really let that go?
Destiny 2 is coming in, like, let's say 2 years.
Okay.
You know, it's a 10-year life cycle. It's a 2-year life cycle. Okay. We're about a year. This year will be a year in. So, like, in 2 more years, we'll be talking about Destiny 2 is my guess. Mm-hmm. I have no idea, though.
We don't.
So I think by that time, it would be safe to say we don't need to develop for 360 and PS3.
Yeah, and I think
I don't think most developers will be developing for that platform at that
everyone
time.
Everyone will have moved on. If the timeline is 2 years from now, fine. Yeah, absolutely.
It's today, no, release cross-platform.
Or if it's next year.
There's a huge install base. But if 2 years from now, I think most people are going to be converted over to PS4 and Xbox One at that point.
And they already have in place a very easy system to switch between those profiles, right? If you're if you're in Sony's ecosystem and you move from PS3 to PS4, everything comes with you. If you're in 360... Or you own a Microsoft Xbox 360 and you move on to Xbox One, all of that content goes with you. One thing I really
They actually
wish
had
happen,
a free upgrade plan for a while on one of those platforms. Yeah.
Okay, is it not free anymore?
I don't know.
Oh, you mean free for game, not free for like, you know, because I don't think they charge for transfers.
They don't.
They
That's
don't.
Free.
Yeah, for context. I will say, though, that I do wish these walled gardens didn't exist anymore. Like, I do really wish that if I wanted to play the next big upgrade to Destiny, if it's Destiny 2, let's call it that.
You want
to
play it on Xbox instead of PlayStation, you mean?
With my same character. I want one character, one platform that travels between both. Like,
Me too.
Profile that whatever public, like whatever platform makers, like,
that's
ultimately
never gonna happen.
The big game that everyone wants.
It
I know
sucks.
It's not gonna happen.
It
it's
sucks,
ridiculous.
But it's never gonna happen.
It's such a silly thing because at the end of the day, I have friends in both camps, and it is not easy to develop more than one character in that game. Let alone,
I
mean, you've done it with six, right?
No,
five or six.
Four. I have four.
So wait, break this down for me. Is it three on one and one on the other?
It's three on PlayStation 4, and then one on Xbox One. That is about a 30.
And granted, we're talking to the minority here because not everyone's going to own a PS4 and an Xbox One.
Yeah.
I'm simply talking about
matters of convenience. I just made that character to run like Vault with friends or just hang out with them in Destiny, you know, once in a while. Like I would play with Alfredo in multiplayer and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
And that's why that character was made, just to hang out with Xbox only people.
I was using it to play with friends from the Central Valley in California that I had met. Shout out to the Lost Boys. Like, we could just go out there and play, and was a cool way to do it.
My Titan on Xbox has an icebreaker. That's about it.
I
was like nothing else.
Yeah, it would it would make a lot of sense. No, but I hear what he's saying, and I think you're right that 2 years is the right amount of time. I just think anything shorter than that, I think it's kind of silly to move on that quickly, especially since you were willing to start when new, like when current gen was just starting to be.
I got a lot of emails with people saying we bought the next gen console because we want to play the better version of the game. You know, so they bought Destiny and then they bought a PS4 or an Xbox One to play on the better version.
But the difference is visual. The difference is not how different is gameplay. Like I have not touched it on PS4.
Well, on our graphics comparison, it looks pretty comparable, but having played Grand Theft Auto 5 on last gen and next gen recently, you know, because Christine at home was playing on last gen and I was playing on next gen, we both were like, this looks terrible on Xbox 360 when comparing it to the Xbox One version. You know, it's amazing like how much of a difference there is.
Absolutely. Do we know numbers-wise how well PS3 and 360 sold? Is that info out
the
there?
The 360?
360 version of Destiny. Sorry, let me put that in full context.
No, I don't believe there's platform stats out there.
Yeah, I'm going to see if we can
It was top
up,
of the charts in September. I know that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I only ask because at the end of the day, if there's enough people who are still supporting that game, I think it makes the decision to change really hard, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. As to when, rather, you know?
Oh, yeah, you're saying if the install base is like 100 million on Xbox 360 and 10 million
or
on Xbox
players.
One?
Let's keep it to that number, right? And rather than the install base, just who's still playing,
how many
people. I can
guarantee you Bungie and Activision are considering that when deciding what to do with Destiny
2. Or the decision's been made. But either way, these teams are working really hard on what the game is going to be.
So,
cool, man.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Yep, that's it.
That's our show this week. As always, thank you for listening to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Destin and I are here. Fran couldn't be here because, unfortunately, he had some emergencies he had to attend to.
Send him your warm feelings.
Please send your warm feelings to at Fran Mirabella on Twitter. But if you want to keep supporting the show or have feedback for us, you can leave feedback in dozens of ways. Actually, not dozens. There's actually two. on iTunes, you can head on over there and leave us some either a review or some comments. Let us know what you think, what you like. Or you can email destiny@ign.com. Email your questions. Email your feedback. We always are curious
comment.
To hear what the community comes from, what has to say. And if not, comment on the article on ign.com.
That's three, Jose.
Yeah, so that is three. Oh, man. All right. You can tell it's a Friday. Thank you very much for listening, Guardians. And we'll be back next week with more Fireteam Chat.
Guardians out.
I'm going to just let you keep doing that because I'm not doing it.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it.
Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Linsky.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.